here today, and we've got some very special guests. And before I introduce them, I just also want to thank David Werber for hosting the lunch and putting it on. So, thank you. So to introduce, we've got Professor Shlomo Biderman, who's the president of the Academic College of Tel Aviv Yafo. And before taking on the role as the president, Professor Biderman had a long and very fruitful career at Tel Aviv University, where he was the dean of the Faculty of Humanities for many years. And we've also got Liat Weiss, who is the director of external relations for the college. And she's had 12 to 14 years in the not-for-profit sector, and she's also a lawyer. And I've had the privilege to be part of Liat and Professor Biderman's trip in Melbourne so far. Tomorrow they're going to Sydney. And just to give you a bit of a snapshot, they earlier in the week addressed the Victorian Parliament in regard to what they're doing, and they've had meetings with Swinburne and RMIT about potential collaboration. But you'll hear from them, the very unique aspect of the college is that it uses the tools of academia to create meaning and vital social change in Israel. And on that note, I'll hand it over.
Okay, thank you. Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, a word of warm thanks to David for hosting us here, and a word of gratitude to all of you and the Jewish community in Melbourne. It's our second visit here. We were here last year. And again, as we felt last year, we are feeling like coming home. And it has everything to do with the special, what we feel is the special atmosphere that you created here, the Jewish community in Melbourne. It's a very beautiful city. So thank you for being here, and a last word of apology. I caught a cold and I have fever. And I may speak some sort of nonsense here or there, out of my special condition. I'll try to be brief, and I have asked Liat to fill me in and tell you something more, some facts and ideas about what we are doing. I would like to share with you some thoughts. That, and I'll start perhaps in a personal way, as Shelley told you, I was a university man for many years. I was a Tel Aviv university man. It's the largest research university in Israel, and I was there in the Faculty of Humanities, doing my research, teaching a lot of students, doing what professors in university usually do. I was 4 years ago offered to come to the Tel Aviv Jaffa College, Academic College, to serve as president. This is, by the way, an independent college. It has nothing. It has no formal connections with Tel Aviv University. We are friends with Tel Aviv University, but we, from the day the college was established 25 years ago, something like that, it is an academic public college in its own right, self-accredited for giving both BA and MA, both undergraduate and graduate. We are sitting in Jaffa, the heart of Jaffa. We have around 4,000 students. We have quite a nice campus in Jaffa, and we are going now to build 450 units for dormitories for students outside the area of Tel Aviv. For me to come to the college was something of an innovation, late in life, you know. I realized that academy, in Israel especially, is not meant only to educate the next generations by transmitting knowledge. The special task of the college that I discovered and I would like to promote is the way in which we must integrate the transmission of knowledge with the transformation of the society in which this knowledge will stay. We can't now act as some sort of, you know, learned man sitting in an ivory tower and, you know, proclaiming, we have got the wisdom, we have got the intellectual tradition, just come to us and we'll share with you our illuminative way of understanding the world, understanding society, understanding the nature of technology and so on. We have another task to fulfill. The task we have to fulfill in the college is to intervene in society, to open the gates, to break the fences, and to be relevant in everything we are creating, teaching, thinking about. We can't allow ourselves in Israel the luxury of remaining aloof, of staying and, you know, worshipping ourselves. We can't allow ourselves in the college, in the higher education system, the luxury of winning the games we play with ourselves. Because the game should be played in other places. Israel is a very fragmented society. It has a lot of intellectual vitality. It has a lot of energy. It exists from crisis to crisis. And it has a lot of inner tensions without the society, between factions of society that don't feel themselves as united in one, in even loose framework. And as we now understand that the college or the academic environment is perhaps the only meeting point which can, in which all these fragments can meet and join together, and especially do things together, perform something, change something. We are teaching, we have 5 or 6 faculties, but everything that we teach academically, for bachelor degree, for MA degree, must be relevant. Whatever is not relevant, we are not interested in it. If it's not relevant, if we teach pure mathematics within the framework of the computer science degree, we demand of our student to pass what they are taught to new immigrants in high schools. You must know that now the most pressing educational problem is that Israel students are very low on mathematics, the lowest on the OECD. This is a disgrace. We can't, because it has nothing to do with, you know, it's not a matter of prestige. It's a matter of gaining the ability to think in general terms, to create, you know, if you create high tech, you need to have this knowledge, and we are losing it. We are losing it mainly because there are many segments in the Israeli society that need some sort of active intervention of the mainly of the academia. We are therefore present in all high schools in Jaffa, in the south of Tel Aviv. We are therefore giving classes, regular classes, to children the age of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, until they are 18. We are therefore the only one in Israel who is training ultra-Orthodox male Jews. We are taking them from the yeshivot, from the yeshivas, and we are training them in a four-year course, academic course, to get a degree, academic degree, and a certification as nurses. Because, you know, there is 40,000 vacancies of nurses in Israel. No one to fill these vacancies. So the public health is suffering, is going to a major crisis. And on the other hand, the Haredi society has segments, has people which have no profession, which have no future ahead of them, which can't provide for the families. And they are more and more lacking self-value, because most of them are not fit to study the Torah or to study the Talmud in the yeshivas. They are sitting there because they are paid by that, you know, fake learning. They got the money from donors or from the government to provide very poorly for the families. We are offering them like insurance policy. When they finish after 4 or 5 years, they will have a profession for the next 35, 40 years of their life, in which they can provide a panose for the families. So we are there for them. We are there for the new immigrants in all the southern part of Tel Aviv. You know, you may come to Tel Aviv and see how beautiful it is, how vital it is, but the poverty, mainly in the south of Tel Aviv, is, in Hebrew I say shouting. I don't know how to say it in English. So, in all these respects, we think that if we teach nursing, if we teach behavioral science, mainly psychology, everything we teach and everything we research should and must be relevant. So for us, our mantra is to exercise an inclusive excellence. We promote excellent standards in academic achievements, but we vehemently maintain the need to be inclusive and not exclusive. I'll ask Liat now to give you some examples of what we are doing, and mainly I think that if you ask questions, we can be more focused in giving you both our views and ideas, and what we are doing, actually doing. Okay.
So, thank you, Shlomo. Let me put this here. Everything may seem so vague because it's a theory but we implement this model, as Shlomo said, about every program. So let's see how it's done. For example, in the computer science school. So this actually was the hardest school to implement the program on, because we had to think of academic teaching, research, and a community engagement, and those all three factors needed to incorporate in the school's activity. So what we are doing with the students of the computer science school is, this year, every year we choose a different organization that fits our needs, but this year we have chosen Bet Izi Shapira, which is a wonderful organization. You might know that. Yes. This is a center for mentally challenged population from early age until a very late stage. And since the early age is very much taken care of, we have chosen to deal with the adults. And the adults in their spare time, or in the time that they would like to get additional contents and interesting one, they don't have the kind of support to do that. So what the students have done, that they have developed games for them to play in the afternoons and in the evening, and through an entire year, their final year during the bachelor studies, they have initiated games like creating a helmet that they can put on their heads, and the helmet is motion sense and voice sensitive, so when they move and when they do things, so it changes with the light and the music and the feel. That was an amazing success. We already have prototype that we are about to take to the second stage. And of course a lot of other implementations that truly changed. I spoke to the manager of Beit Izi Shapira. The success was enormous, because the fact that somebody addressed that point that is not taken care of. They have beds, they have all kinds of aids that they need for their everyday life, but they don't get support to the enrichment part or the cultural part of their life, which is not treated. So that was that is one whole year program, of course, to do that. We also work with a lot of high-tech companies to try to understand what is the next product for markets that has social needs. So this is in the computer science field. Also, in the computer science field, we have initiated the first social bond in Israel, together with Impact Investing Israel, by Sir Ronald Cohen, the one that actually started the social bond, thinking that the social bond, it relies on the principle that if we create change, the change worth money that will be reimbursed to the investors. So actually everybody wins. The investor get their own money back, plus interest, of course. We get better students because it's retention versus graduation, and of course the government is very much satisfied by the fact that we have graduation rates and that is according to their needs. So this is just one school, for example, that creates this entire change. Another one is, as Shlomo said, the nursing science. We work with ultra-Orthodox men. Actually, we got rabbinical approvals, and we got the acute need from the community, from the men itself, that they don't like to stay in yeshivas. They would like to be integrated into the workforce. And since there is such an acute need and lack of nurses, we're able to get a promise that they will be incorporated in the major hospitals in Israel, Ichilov and Tel HaShomer, the minute that they will graduate, and that will secure a job, a lifetime job for them, and they will take it will take them out of the cycle of poverty. So it was very good in that sense. Also, the same health science school is taking the students to go to refugee clinics. clinics in Jaffa and South Tel Aviv. We have a very acute problem with the Sudanese and the refugee seekers. So we have to address that also. In addition, we have in the same schools, we're working with welfare chambers. These are the things that universities doesn't do regularly. It's not a part of the curriculum. It can be an internship, which is very good. It's very nice. But it's very hard to do a whole program such as that. And we are not necessarily talking about that door. We don't target those students to become social entrepreneurs. But we think that this gathering point of all kinds of people meeting in the same place, which is an academic institution, is a very big responsibility. And you have to think what to do with this responsibility. If you just issue certificates, a very high distinguished high academic standards certificates, or are you doing something to change society? And we chose the harder path, which is to try in our modest tools to change society. So this is what we do in a nutshell, and this is only the academic infrastructure. This academic infrastructure in all five or six schools brings the students to understand that there is this ecosystem where everybody are involved. Students, academic faculty, alumni, of course, and this ecosystem brings us to the point that they would like to found their own social businesses. And then they are coming to us. And for example, I can give you an example of one social business that arises from this entire ecosystem that is called Mamas. They are, as we said, low socioeconomic background surroundings all around us. So three students from the college thought that it would be a good idea to deal with the women that the children, after the children grew up and they were left with no profession and no education and with nothing concrete to do, to take the relatively advantages and to found pop-up restaurants inside their homes so they can cook and they can host, they can meet new people and also by all means be the first breadwinners of the family in the first time of their life. And this is amazing because actually I heard you talk about Philip Dalidakis' delegation. We hosted last Thursday, it's already 2 weeks ago when the delegation was in Israel. So we hosted them at the Mamas, one of the cooks' homes. And it was such a success because Philip said it one of the best meals he had in Israel. So it was very successful in that sense. And the AICC, which is the Australian Israel Chamber of Commerce, loves to bring people and delegation to the college and one of the social programs. So this is a very hands-on experience that our students founded as part of a social need and has succeeded to create a social business that has its own revenues and it's not supported by philanthropical money. And we have founded about 35 social businesses. 10 of them are still succeeding in generating their own income. So we think it's a fairly good ratio. It's a very demanding infrastructure needed to support all these endeavors, which is not easy. But at the meantime, we are doing quite well. We have a lot of programs for the future. We are very optimistic in the power of academia transfer society, so we are urging every academic institution to do the same. We are very much interested in sharing information, giving information. We have met during the last week, as Shlomo said, it's a beautiful community, and we have met with RMIT and Swinburne University trying to think about potential collaborations in that sense of social inclusion and social innovation. We have addressed the Victorian Parliament, which was a great honor. They were very much interested in what we had to say about harnessing academia as a part of social change, and by that answering national needs. So it was very interesting. The last week, I believe that we will go back home with a lot of ideas and thoughts to how to continue the wonderful collaboration with the Jewish community in Melbourne. So I leave it to questions if you have any. So,
yeah. What's your budget and where's your funding from? Where does your funding come from?
Yes.
And the second question is, with the Haredim, the nurses, don't they need a higher school education before they go into?
I'll answer the second one first. our uniqueness is that we are dealing with Haredim who got only traditional religious education. They know nothing of English or mathematics unless they have some private means or they had private ways of gaining this information. They are not studying in schools. So when we take them, we count on one thing. Most of them have very high learning abilities. They can catch it very quick. And it's proven. It's not some sort of... but they need education. So within these 4 years, before they coming to us, they have 1 year of preparatory teaching. So when they come to us, they have already did some sort of... closing the gap. One step of closing these gaps. But we are working with them 4 years to do it. When they get the degree, they are meeting the formal requirements of the college. We don't believe in affirmative action. We are not doing affirmative action. Affirmative action is something for short-term success. You come, you pick some of them, you give them all the support, all the love, all the attention needed, and after 3 years, you are happy, they are happy, but the society is not changed by them. We believe in long term, which means if we have to stay with them 4, 5, 6 years, we'll do it. But they will meet the same requirements that are according to our academic curriculum, and they can be there, then they can serve then as agents for further change in the society. That's the long answer to a short question.
And for your first question, we are based on three sources of income. The first one is 60% subsidies by the government, because we're a public college funded by the government. The second is 30% tuition, and 10% is philanthropical money.
What's the budget? How much is the budget?
110 million shekels per year.
20 this year.
20? We have grown.
Just back to nursing. Why did you choose Haredi male nurses of all the possible things you could
do? Oh, it's easy. It's the most difficult.
we are usually choosing missions that has a high rate of high chances of failing. That's our, But this is the problem. This is the crux of the problem. You know, to choose women and to train them, it's less difficult. Because, you know, women, and they are more educated, you know, generally speaking, in general terms of mathematics or all these languages. But by choosing men, we think that we are solving not only the problem of the health system in Israel, but also the social problem and the economic problem of the integration of ultra-religious society within the state of Israel. And we don't mean integration we don't believe in a melting pot, the melting pot story. It isn't working. Let each one of us remain what we are. But we have to have some solidarity. We have to form some solidarity. And the problem now is in Israel that the only solidarity that we have now is in matters of security. And we can't keep going on relying on it to save us when we need solidarity. We have to be more active. And who can do it? We are in this college, we are the neutral ground. And we have this academic background which enable us to be relevant. And you know, in the university, when I was, the need to be relevant was regarded as some sort of obnoxious idea. You mustn't think about it if you are really a professor. You have to do what you are doing, relevant, not relevant. Time will tell. We don't have the time. In the college, we feel a sense of urgency. So that's the answer why we choose to go with against the wall. And we have, you know, it's 30, 35 people each year. We can't do more. We don't have the means. And they have to be persuaded, each of them, that it's worthwhile trying. Because for them, it's a big change in the way they live.
Can you tell us more about the partnerships that you're trying to develop here? You said you met with Martin Swinburne. Mm-hmm. What's the end goal of those partnerships?
Yes. So we're thinking around the areas of course, social innovation and social inclusion. The idea was to create joint work groups with students from our MIT and Swinburne and students from the MTA to create like a think tank and to brainstorm with ideas of social endeavors, social businesses that maybe can be implemented also in Australia and in Israel, because we understood that UNS has relatively the same problems trying to integrate minorities and trying to think about innovative ways to found social businesses in order to change the needs of the community. So that was one aspect. The other one was mutual degrees, joint degrees that will be conducted also in Israel and Australia, because as much as...
Spanish students?
Yes.
Sorry, yes.
We are going to open an MBA program in English next year. Mm-hmm. So it will be, language will not be very important.
And both of the parties can contribute to the contents of this MBA. By coming does not mean that we are the only one that has to offer. By all means, this is an equal partnership that everybody has to contribute. So it's actually a win-win. We're also considering PhDs, joint PhDs. And we have a lot of thought about hackathons and mutual hackathons and all kinds of interesting things, because it was, I have to say, those meetings were a real transformation for us. We understood what's going on in universities around Melbourne. You're very lucky in that sense, because one of the institutions, the Swinburne University, is very innovative by nature and wants to create a true change and understand the Y generation, the millennials, their true needs. And and this is something that we can really relate to, because we've told David half an hour ago that we have founded the first one-year program for young adults. It's not a problem for young adults, but it's a program of young adults for people that would like to understand what is the world of young adults, why do they keep changing jobs every 2 minutes, why are they not satisfied, why do they don't write, why do they tweet or text, what's going on with them. But the fact that they are going to be tomorrow's leaders, It's not something to be laughing off. It's something that needs addressing and understanding. So we are now in the process of creating a whole discipline of young adults, four people, four directors, marketing people, HR managers, all the populations that are dealing with young adults and would like to understand, parents by all means, and would like to understand more about this generation and generations to come, because the Y generation is already the generation of yesterday. We are talking about the Z generation, the Alpha generation. We need to understand so we'll be able to create products with them, we'll be able to employ them, we'll be able to talk with them and to address them in various ways which will be relevant for the continuing development of the future. So that was one idea that really captured the minds of universities here also.
Swinburne already has a partnership with an Israeli institute.
The first partnership that they have is with the Tel Aviv Uni around cyber.
No, but they had with Katzenstein, and it was closed. It's closed.
Okay.
They used to have.
Swinburne was actually at the college a year ago, last April. They came to visit us. So we have started the relationship by them visiting us, and then we paid them a visit this week.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because they've had partnerships, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
But this partnership will be more, I think, in a way, practical. Less theoretical, less institutional, and more like working teams that will practice social entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. We would like to teach social entrepreneurship. We don't know how it's done. You know, it's some sort of contradiction in
terms. Almost no one teaches it.
We talked with them yesterday. We want to do it by performing it, you know. Mm-hmm. By performing, by failing, by trying again.
Mm-hmm. Learning so by doing. That's the thing to do. Failing all the time. That's a key element of innovation.
They suggested yesterday that we sign a mutual agreement, a formal agreement, and then, you know, start doing things.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'd just like to thank both of you for coming here today.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to see yet another example of Israel leading the world. Not only working in Yafo, in your immediate surrounds, but really impacting society wherever you see it and building this partnership. So it's very, very inspirational to see that, and we hope you can continue to do that.
Thank you.
And help Australian society as well.
We'd be happy to do that.
I'd like to invite any one of you, when you are in Israel, please come and visit us, give us a call. We want to see what we do, and we'll show you the environment, the area. Sometimes you can go to Jaffa without seeing what should be seen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.